welcome to the political cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host for tonight, James Edwards.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Political Cesspool radio program, live broadcast for Saturday, May 5th, 2012. I'm your host, James Edwards. I'm coming to you live tonight from AM 1380 WLRM Radio in downtown Memphis, Tennessee, going out to the AM-FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network. We're also simulcasting online, as we always do, at our official internet headquarters, thepoliticalcesspool.org. And unfortunately, ladies and gentlemen, we begin tonight's program with very unfortunate, very tragic news. As you know, my co-host, Keith Alexander, without fail, is in here with me, providing service to you, the listening audience, each and every week during the first hour. This is, for all intents and purposes, Keith's hour. Keith Alexander will not be here tonight. His wife passed away unexpectedly earlier this afternoon, and I got a call from Keith shortly after lunchtime. His wife was not ill. She did not have an accident. She simply passed away in her sleep. And as you can imagine, Keith Alexander, absolutely shaken and devastated. It's a devastating turn of events for the Alexander family. Keith is one of my best friends. And so with him not being here tonight for obvious reasons, we want to ask each and every one of you, ladies and gentlemen, in the listening audience who have come to love Keith, as I have from listening to him on the air for so many years now, we want to ask you to keep him in your prayers this evening and keep his children in your prayers as well as the extended family of Keith's wife. And joining me under the circumstances tonight during this first hour is Bill Rowland, who had the opportunity to visit with Keith for a few minutes today. Bill, welcome to the show.
Thank you, James. As I've already told you, I actually drove up on the scene as it was unfolding at Keith's house. By a strange twist of circumstances, I happened to be in that part of town and actually drove by Keith's house and saw police cars and the sad scene of family and the coroner's truck there, and I knew something terrible had happened. And of course, rolling up on a scene like that, you don't know the circumstances, and so I didn't know what to think. But I got out of my car, went up to Keith's house, and didn't know what to expect. I saw his sons there in grief and sorrow. And then I heard Keith say, "Hey, Bill," and I turned around, and he told me what had happened. It was really very sad and very grief-filled moment for everybody there. And, of course, Keith was absolutely stunned, and I don't mind saying dazed by the situation. And, of course, again, my heart goes out to him and prayers for his family and our deepest condolences on this sad and unexpected death of his wife. Keith has always been a devoted family man, and so I know this strikes him particularly hard.
He, as you mentioned, Bill, you just happened by coincidence to be driving in Keith's neighborhood, and of course we all know where Keith lives, and you noticed his home as you passed by, and you saw the ambulances and the other official vehicles there, and you pulled in, and Keith called me. I mean, just out of the blue, and I figured he was calling me to make some final prep for the show tonight. He called me just after lunch, and obviously he was more than upset and had informed me over the phone that his wife had passed away and wanted to let me know that he he couldn't come into the program tonight. And of course, I stumbled over my words, didn't know what to say, offered him my help if he needed me to come over, go over at 2 a.m, whatever. But Keith Alexander, we're so close to him. You know, we always say, and rightly so, that the extended listenership, the audience of this program, is our family, and that's true. But certainly, when you get down to the immediate hosting staff, I mean, it's the bands of brotherhood or like steel cables. And when something like this happens to one of us, it happens to all of us, although, of course, not nearly to the extent as what Keith's going through tonight. So anyway, Bill, you know, me and you talked about it tonight. Would it be appropriate to mention this on the air? Should we not mention it at all? And I said, you know, we both agreed. We don't want to do the show, and Keith, you know, perhaps is listening. Oh, well, they didn't miss a beat. They just went on. No, he's family. He's our family. We want everyone to share in this. If you have any wishes for Keith, feel free to email them to me, and I'll make sure they get to him. But certainly we're all stunned tonight as we prepare to do this show. And we are going to do the show, but we wanted this to be the first thing that we brought to your attention. Bill, what can you say above and beyond that?
Well, there's really not much to say except that you never know what it means to have a loss of words until you're put into a situation where you approach a family under these circumstances and, you know, try to say something to make them to offer words of condolence or comfort. And really, you are at a loss of words, and I was at a loss of words today, except to tell his sons, of course, how deeply I regretted the loss of their mother, and of course for Keith, this is just he's been married so many years, you know, and as I said, such a devoted family man, a good family man, and has always taken care of his family as we all should, and as you know, again, all the crew on this show are devoted family men. Eddie Miller, you, me, and Keith. And so that's, I think, why it disturbs us so much, is we know what it feels like or what it would feel like for something like that to happen. And so it strikes us particularly hard. And then, of course, you know, nothing compared to the grief he is going through right now.
You know, it's hard to even pick up the pieces for us, even though it didn't happen to us. It happened to our very good friend. It's hard to even rationalize in our minds how we go to this forthcoming commercial break and then come back after the break and move on with the show tonight. It almost seems as though we should go dark this evening in honor, but we are going to move forward. We are going to cover the news. We're going to do the job that Keith would do if he was here.
And I think that's what Keith wants. And as you know, James, he would want the show to go on, and I'm a poor substitute, but I'll do what I can to fill in for Keith tonight so that you have a wingman and we get through the show. But, you know, last words being, Keith, God bless you, and we're praying for you and your family, and we hope that God gives you comfort in your time of grief and despair. And that's all we can do is in a moment like this.
And again, ladies and gentlemen, I know that you all share a connection with Keith as a man who is on this show every week. Each and every week, you want to share your thoughts with Keith. You want to wish him well, offer condolences, show a sign of respect for a man who is out there fighting for you on the front lines. Email me, james@thepoliticalcesspool.org. I will make sure those messages, those heartfelt notes, get to Keith. And we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we will move on with tonight's show. Stay tuned.
Don't let me be misunderstood. Don't let me be misunderstood.
Please understand me, baby.
Don't let me be misunderstood.
Don't misunderstand me, baby.
Don't let me be
misunderstood. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you'll ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
America has lost her way, lost her morning, forgotten her direction, What once protected us from leftist theories and cloud-borne wish lists of egalitarian quacks and crackpots was that our principles and values were grounded on experience. What actually worked? As settlers built new political societies from scratch, from the ground up. America was based on personal responsibility, our right to manage our own affairs without the dictation of central planners or a distant bureaucracy. But we're losing that foundation. We're losing our liberty. At www.truthbasedlogic.com, we offer arguments for which the enemies of traditional America have no answers. TruthBasedLogic.com exists to help us better understand, defend, and restore the heritage we are losing.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages, American Heritage School in American Fork.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. Again, welcome back to the show on a very, very sad, very, very down night for a show that is typically very gregarious, despite the precipice on which Western civilization stands. But a night tragically hits close to home. Keith Alexander suffering the unexpected passing of his wife this morning, passing away in her sleep, in otherwise good health. But Moving on from that, and we must move on, we do ask that you continue to email us, and we will get those notes to Keith. But I want to make a quick announcement about the show before we go any further. This is, if you'll pardon the contradiction, an exciting problem. The broadcast archives, the Political Cesspool's broadcast archives, will be temporarily unavailable. I've received a couple of dozen emails today about this matter, and I want to take a moment to let you know what's happening here as I go on the air. Basically, listenership of Liberty News Radio and the Political Cesspool Radio program has grown to the point that our network, the network here, Liberty News, that syndicates our show, does not have an adequate amount of bandwidth to facilitate the number of visitors coming in to listen to the broadcast archives. As a result, our network is moving its website to another server that can handle the increase in traffic. Now, what that means is that our show will have the room it needs to continue to grow and reach even more new fans. For the next potentially couple of days, however, our broadcast archives will be temporarily unavailable. I talked to Sam Bushman, the owner of Liberty News Radio, who also makes frequent appearances on tonight's show and will be appearing tonight with me in the second hour, as a matter of fact. Talked to him this morning, talked to him just before going on the air a few minutes ago, and he says that the website could come back online and the broadcast archives be fully restored any minute. They said it would take anywhere between one day and up to 3 days. So, potentially for the next couple of days, the broadcast archives will be down. Don't worry. We're not under attack. We're not going anywhere. It's a good problem. And we will issue a follow-up announcement here at thepoliticalcesspool.org when the updates are completed and, again, the archives have been fully restored. On another front, we will also be revamping our online chat room and virtual fan party in order to accommodate the increase in participants there. Our chats have been previously hosted by the Council of Conservative Citizens, but the number of people in the room frequently overloaded their server as well, causing it to routinely crash. Once again, in order to better serve you, we'll be halting our participation in the CFCC chat room and operating our own in the very near future. I thank you, ladies and gentlemen in the audience, for your patience as we experience these encouraging growing pains. And again, stay tuned to thepoliticalcesspool.org for more details. In the meantime, we're glad you're here with us live on the air this evening. Obviously, nothing wrong with our live internet feed and the feed going out to the local affiliates across the country. But as far as the broadcast archives, we do expect them to be restored in a day or two at most. And the CFCC, the online chat room, we're moving from the CFCC to a new host as well. And we expect that to be up within the next show or two. So, Bill, moving on. It's exciting to have growing pains even after 8 years on the air.
Indeed, growing pains are exciting. And, of course, the show has gained audience over the years, incremental gains. And what we want is big gains in audience. And we want advertisers to join us at Liberty News Radio and help support this show. So, as you know, James, I'll be contacting advertisers in the very near future about supporting this outstanding broadcast network and, of course, our own show, which we love, is next to our hearts. And this is very important because what's happening is that we're gaining traction in the media. And the SPLC, the ADL, all of these left-wing organizations know that people are tuning into us because we have maintained a level of integrity that they don't have. That the left is constantly making up new lies or telling new tales to try to convince people that their crazy egalitarian utopian ideas are still alive and viable, and when they're not, they're dead in the water. We've been telling the truth for many years now, and people are beginning to listen because they know they can come to us and because they know they get the truth. And that's the key to the success of this show. It has that, and of course, the fabulous James Edwards. But the fact remains that the show has integrity. And I say this, you know, almost every show. But if you go back to the archives and listen to the shows we have before Obama was even nominated, we made predictions about his administration which have become absolutely true. Almost every prediction, I think every prediction we made, has come true.
And I remember those days when we were making those predictions quite well. It was back in the summer of 2008, the spring of 2008, and these were shows that you and I did together, Bill. It's hard to remember every show when you have such a rich portfolio of work, but I do remember those shows particularly because we've been proven right, and you go back and you listen to them and you think, you know, what a sage, what a prognosticator that Bill Rowland was, because you were the main one putting your mouth on the line there to go out there and make these bold predictions. I sometimes sit and marvel at how they unfolded.
But this was from the understanding of who we're dealing with and who are our adversaries. It's just a simple understanding of how they operate.
Well, tell the people a little bit about what you said would happen and then what's come to pass, as a matter of fact.
Right. Well, for instance, we made the prediction that black-on-white mob violence and black-on-white violence would increase exponentially when the left was predicting that blacks would have a new sense of self-esteem and that they would abandon crime and turn into brain surgeons and rocket scientists, as Trayvon Martin apparently was on track to become an aviation engineer or something. But the fact remains is that's not what happened. There is massive mob violence among blacks across the country and a huge increase of gang attacks on whites for no other reason than because the white people happen to be in the wrong place at the wrong time. Nevertheless, we made that prediction, and that's what's happened. Made the prediction that the most dangerous appointment Obama could make would be the attorney general. And he's proven to be just as vicious and just as dangerous as we could expect from the Obama administration. He's going after whites and white organizations and prosecuting hate crimes wherever he can find them. And in doing so, suppressing our liberties as Americans, our constitutional liberties. So, you know, these are the things we have to be aware of, and our listeners should be aware that we have been on watch, we have been on guard, we have been in the watchtower the whole time, keeping an eye on the enemy and reporting to you what he would do and what was going on. And so the enemy is at the gate. We're in a very desperate time in this country right now. As most people know in the news, the big news this week was that some anarchists had attempted to blow up a railroad bridge. And, of course, the media has sort of danced and promenaded around this issue. Okay, who are the domestic terrorists now? It's the left, the people on the left, who, even though there's a left-wing administration in power in this country, they're attacking, still out there attacking, viciously attacking everything that's truly good and decent in America. And these little left-wing anarchists, and you can be sure that they're all a bunch of spoiled brats from prosperous families, that are attempting to blow up bridges. But according to the SPLC and the ADL, we're the domestic terrorists. We're the troublemakers. When, in fact...
Yeah, people who have a Ron Paul bumper sticker, people who believe in the Constitution
right.
or fly the Gadsden flag, these are the people, you know, people who pay taxes and go to work in church, these are the people. People like Bill Rowland, James Edwards, Sam Bushman, Chuck Baldwin, James Dobson, these are the people you got to look after.
Right, these are the dangerous people. Well, it's true, they're right. We're dangerous to their lies, we're dangerous to their misinformation, we're dangerous to the violent, abnormal mentality they have. And of course they're paranoid, because we're telling the truth about them. That's what they're really afraid of. They're afraid, scared to death, and bedwetting over the truth.
Bill, hold it right there, my friend. You're on fire. We got to go over here and stick you in the water, and then we're going to poke the embers. But we're going to take a break. We're going to be back with more, and we're going to pick up right where we're leaving off, ladies and gentlemen. Don't you worry about that. Stay tuned.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Are you looking for literature from authors who aren't ashamed of their European-American heritage? Are you looking for books that don't shy away from the forbidden facts? You used to look all over the internet for these books, but you can now find them all at the same place, LighthouseLiterature.com. Whether you're looking for rare classics from the great thinkers or the latest and most popular books from guys like me, Lighthouse Literature is your trusted source for the best books at the best prices. For a limited time, you can get my new book, Racism Schmacism, from Lighthouse Literature for only $10. When you make a purchase from www.lighthouseliterature.com, you're helping support dedicated real-world advocates and activists. So, what are you waiting for? Surf on over to LighthouseLiterature.com, a bright light for the right.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Political Cesspool Radio Program. James Edwards and Bill Rowland filling in for Keith Alexander tonight. We're talking about a couple of things here. I want to circle back to something I mentioned at the very top of the last segment. Exciting problems, encouraging growing pains. The broadcast archive is unavailable, maybe just for a few more hours, but no more than a couple of days. So for those of you who have been writing in today or others who may be curious, we outgrew our house. You know, we have too many kids tuning in, if you will, if that makes sense. But basically, yeah, we had to kick down a wall, tear down a wall, and we're building on an addition. Liberty News Radio, moving to a bigger server to... accommodate the increase in listeners to the programming here on this network, including our very show, and giving increased bandwidth to facilitate the growth that we're experiencing here. And Bill Rowland did an excellent job of comparing and contrasting the growth, the methodical and steady ascension of the Political Cesspool Radio program over the course of the last 8 years versus what's going on, for instance, with the newspapers. And I'm going to come back, Bill, to another important point you made about the anarchists, the left-wing terrorists that certainly never get any media attention for their acts. We're going to get back to that because that's important, but I wanted to quickly wrap this up because, as you mentioned, you will be joining forces here at the network to bring in ad revenue for the programming here, and you have a history in that. You've worked in the newspaper industry, among other things, and, you know, we posted this on the blog a couple of days ago. As the political cesspool continues to climb, continues to grow, the newspapers, some of our detractors in the so-called establishment press, are absolutely nosediving. And I put up that quick little blurb, newspapers wonder why they're dying. And as you know all too well, Bill, newspaper subscription rates and ad revenue continue to plunge with no end in sight. And how do the newspapers respond? Do they seek to please the vast majority of their readers, which is white people, let's face it, and look after their interests? No, they do the exact opposite. They kowtow to so-called minorities in their editorials and their commentary. They downplay or refuse to even mention race in stories about crime and other problems in their news reporting, while constantly lecturing white people of their sins of racism and xenophobia, quote-unquote. There was a column I read recently entitled "Ignorance is Costlier Than Immigrants," and it was actually published a few years ago in a newspaper in Houston, of all places. "Ignorance is Costlier Than Immigrants." Now, you can imagine where the story went from there. And to no surprise, though, however, almost all of the reader comments — they also posted this article online, as many newspapers do now — the reader comments took issue with the author and the piece and lined up on our side of the argument with regards to illegal aliens. So, you know, the headline read, "Ignorance is Costlier Than Immigrants." I say, ignorance is costly? Not hardly. It's, you can get ignorance for 75 cents a day and $2 on Sunday. But Bill, I can't help but chuckle as we have, we're experiencing what we're experiencing this weekend with regards to moving to a bigger website to accommodate more listeners who are coming in to get the archives and live shows. Whereas, the newspapers, you know, what are they doing? And why are they doing it? I mean, they would rather apparently go out of business than be objective in their reporting if being objective crosses the false gods of political correctness.
The truth is, James, that the newspaper industry has been dying for many years, over 30 years. In fact, probably the first death gurgles began in the 1960s. A lot of people believe that the internet has been killing off newspapers, and actually the internet has sort of made a few of the final blows, a few of the final kicks, we'll say, into the groin of newspapers. But the truth is that it was mostly desktop publishing and the advent of the alternative weeklies that cut deeply into newspaper revenues in terms of advertising. And most of these weeklies were free newspapers. You know, in Memphis, it's the Memphis Flyer, and then there are a couple of others that are free, and they don't cost anything. People pick them up. They get entertainment news. They get a little bit of liberal perspective on some things, but it's not nearly as obnoxious as the liberal editorial policy at the Commercial Appeal. And so the Memphis Flyer has been skimming off ad revenue from our local paper for many, many years. And at the time, I was working at the Commercial Appeal and know very well the situation there, and know very well that year after year after year, the Commercial Appeal was on this, absolutely on this mission to advance liberal causes in Memphis, which would be understandable if their readership was liberal. But in fact, what was happening is that the newspaper was alienating the base, the broader subscribers, who were generally older, more conservative white people. And I watched year after year as these efforts to liberalize the community were disastrous in terms of subscriber, keeping subscribers and increasing the circulation of the paper. Almost every time that a new editor came into the Commercial Appeal, that editor would be from up north or from somewhere else, and he would be absolutely, unassailably hostile to the local white population and our beliefs and our thoughts and our opinions. The one exception to that was a renegade scallywag Southerner named McCarran, who came in and took over the paper and promptly ran off the Pulitzer Prize-winning editorial cartoonist, Mike Ramirez, who won the only Pulitzer Prize for the newspaper in the last 70 years or so. I mean, you know, this was the big accomplishment of Angus McCarran, is to run off the prize editorial cartoonist of the paper, because Michael Ramirez, even though he's half Japanese and half Mexican, was fairly conservative and is now a star editorial cartoonist, I think, at the Los Angeles Times. But this is the mentality at newspapers, that the editorial department is like the holy tabernacle, that they can do anything they want. They could care less about the business end of the paper or the people working in circulation, the people working in advertising. They're on a crusade and on a mission, and the people who are at the paper trying to keep it in business are merely cannon fodder for their liberal ideals. And that's the way it's been for many years. And so the slow death of the newspaper, it's like watching a mastodon sink in the tar pit. You know, no matter how the mastodon trumpets through its tusks and through its trunk, its power and its might, it's sinking in a tar pit, and pretty soon it's going to be a fossil. And it's going to be completely lost in terms of historic memory, because they haven't produced anything that's worth keeping. It's worth archiving. It's all just nonsense and liberal twaddle, and that's a failing system. So the day's going to come when the self-righteous, powerful newspaper is going to be gone, and it's not even going to be missed. And the papers that have failed, there's no fond nostalgia for bringing them back, because they, year after year, time after time, insulted their subscribers, told big fat lies even in reporting, misrepresented the facts that they had. And so, the time is coming for them. And the time is also coming for CNN, MSNBC, these other cable news channels, which also spread lies and disinformation. People aren't buying into their nonsense anymore. The Stephen Colbert's will continue to fail.
Keith Olbermann, who's been fired. I mean, he's got to be fired more times than
Keith Olbermann. Yeah, that's what I meant.
You know, he gets fired about every as often as I shower, which is daily. I mean, seriously, I can't keep track of how many times he's been fired. Because his ratings are, they'll say it's because he was abrasive or what have you, but his ratings are always horrible.
James, the fact is that the liberal media has always been desperate to rehabilitate the failures in the media.
You remember Air America, right? This big thing was supposed to be the left's answer to Clear Channel and, the Limbaugh Syndicate. And what happened to them?
Right down the memory hole. But take, for instance, Ellen DeGeneres. Is a perfect example of the poster child for liberal rehabilitation. At one time, Ellen DeGeneres had a very, very popular comedy show on the major network. And this show had good ratings, and it had good good content. But as soon as Ellen DeGeneres came out and had to parade around her lesbian lifestyle and the fact that she was a lesbian, the ratings plummeted, the advertisers left, and pretty soon her show was off the air.
Yeah, when it became political. Now, to be fair and objective, as our adversaries are not, she has a decently popular daytime talk show, but it's strictly entertainment, and they don't really get into the radical politics that she began to tout on her show, which, as you mentioned, was canceled. And again, Air America, with you know, it was supposed to be so big. They had they had several Hollywood, I guess at least lightweights. I mean, there were movie stars on there doing shows, and it utterly failed. It was a money pit, and it lasted a couple of years, and then it was gone. Just like the newspapers, just like every other radically left-wing media entity. We got to take a break. We're going to pick up right there. If it's the last thing we ever do, we got to get out of this place. Girl, there's a better life for me.
Are you looking to experience the great outdoors in comfort? Are you sick and tired of sleeping bags that are too small, cots that are too narrow, or backpacks that just don't stand up to the wear and tear? Look no further than Teton Sports, a leader in quality, comfortable camping gear. Try our Teton Sports Mammoth 0-degree sleeping bag. This comfortable family-sized sleeping bag can hold 2 adults and 1 child, or 4 young children. Its interior storage pocket holds wallets, keys, and other valuables. Or check out our Teton Sports Outfitter Extra Extra Large Cot, a camping cot with a steel frame. It's more than 7 feet long and 3 feet wide and supports up to 600 pounds. Then it folds up to a manageable 3.5 feet by 1 foot. Or our Teton Sports Explorer 4000 internal frame backpack. Its dual aluminum stays adjust to the contour of your back and can hold up to 4,000 cubic inches. Padded shoulder straps, padded waist belts, and padded lumbar area for maximum comfort with airflow systems to reduce heat. It's time you start camping comfortably. Look for Teton Sports products online or at a store near you.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about? Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211, and take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again, and, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. James Edwards and Bill Rowland continuing on with tonight's first hour. 2 more hours of hard-hitting talk radio forthcoming on the Political Cesspool radio program. As all accounts indicate, we are still a growing show, nearly a decade on the air, not just going strong, but growing strong as well, unlike some of our detractors in the so-called establishment press. I don't call them the mainstream press, because if they're mainstream, we are just as mainstream as they are. A nationally syndicated talk radio program on the AM and FM airwaves, you can't get much more mainstream than that. And again, the ascension is still ongoing. But, you know, Bill, wrapping up our discussion about the newspapers dying and the utter failure in terms of ratings and even survivability of some of these left-wing media ventures like Air America. I believe that's what it was called anyway. But it's great to see. And I can remember, you know, we were reminiscing on the website, I believe it was Friday, at thepoliticalcesspool.org, back when we were first attacked. You know, they always have to set the narrative, you know, to hell with the facts. We had gotten a little bit of attention, as you know, here locally, especially in 2005, for our effective defense of Nathan Bedford Forest Park. As a result, we were offered a certificate of recognition for outstanding contributions to the community. Now, this was given to us, presented to us, by the Memphis City Council. People have people forget that in 2006, the spring of 2006, shortly after our defense of Forest Park, which happened the previous fall, we were presented by the Memphis City Council with a certificate of recognition for outstanding contributions to the community. In addition to that, we, your humble correspondents, the members of the Political Cesspool hosting staff, were named honorary city councilmen. So you're talking to honorary city councilman James Edwards and Bill Rowland, and our show was officially recognized by the Memphis City Council. Well, as you might imagine, this sent the media and their handlers into an absolute frenzy. So shortly after we were giving these very high-profile awards, the Southern Poverty Law Center wrote this blistering account, and that was the time, right around that time, within a few weeks of this presentation to us, these awards, we were officially put on the hate group list. And the media, after we were put on the hate group list by the Southern Poverty Law Center, the local newspaper here, the Commercial Appeal, wrote several articles, including one front page above the fold piece about how hate radio was operating in Memphis and that the Memphis City Council was full of racists who dare present us with awards. And they said things that we said, like white people have a right to survive, as you know, this was one of the things as an example that they would use to qualify how evil and vicious we were. And well, the rest is history. That was the early 2006, and here we are 6 years later, still growing, you know. But this brings us back to the Southern Poverty Law Center, Bill. Well, I guess as far as the Commercial Appeal goes and the newspaper's dying, I remember telling you at that time, I said, Bill, I was basically sharing a prayer aloud with you, Bill. I said, Lord, let me live long enough to see the Commercial Appeal go out of business. And you said, don't worry, James, you will. And apparently that day is still inching ever more closely. But the Southern Poverty Law Center, you know, they put us on the hate watch list, as they have so many other good, decent, conservative Christian groups. You were talking about the so-called Cuyahoga Five bill, this radical left-wing group affiliated with the Occupy Wall Street crowd who planned to blow up a bridge in Cleveland, Ohio. And a reporter called the Southern Poverty Law Center to see if they had any plans to start tracking the Occupy Wall Street movement after a group of people affiliated with them tried to blow up a bridge. I mean, actually try. They didn't talk about it. They tried to do it. And they said, and this was what a representative for the Southern Poverty Law Center said to this member of the press. He said, I don't think so. We're not covered. This was a direct quote. We're not really set up to cover the extreme left. He said, we would cover them if they were infiltrated by someone like neo-Nazis, but otherwise we are not set to cover the extreme left. So, Bill, you take it from there.
And this is an organization with literally hundreds of millions of dollars that over the years they have you know, managed to swindle out of you know, these gullible liberals who think have the same utopian and ridiculous ideas as the Southern Poverty Law Center. I mean, you know, what is the mentality of this country that so many Americans support an organization like the SPLC, which is simply in business to tell lies and to make up stories and to create big, giant monsters in their imaginations just to raise funds. I mean, it boggles the mind. And here we get on the air to try to bring people the truth, to try to report accurately on different topics. And, you know, we're hate radio. We're the terrorists. But I'll tell you, James, what's probably going to happen with this bunch that tried to blow up the bridge is they're going to become like Mumia al-Jamal or the West Memphis Three. They're going to become the darlings of the left wing, and they'll try to exonerate them through media coverage and through, you know, somebody like Sean Penn or some other movie star to discuss their cause and say, oh, no, the FBI tricked them into doing this. In other words, they'll say the same things about these people that we have been saying about people on the right who have been entrapped, who have been thrown in prison and have been robbed of their liberties for doing far, far less than that. For instance, I've been telling you the story about Dr. Tom Sell, who we absolutely must get on the air to tell his story about the persecution he suffered for 8 years, never being indicted for a crime, simply locked up in prison because they didn't like Tom Sell's politics or what he was saying about the government or his role in the Waco massacre. So, you know, this is what the government is really doing, is that they're attacking people on the conservative side, on the side of constitutional government and liberty, as terrorists, people who've done nothing, who've committed no crimes, who've not tried to blow up bridges, who've not shot policemen in the back of the head. We're the terrorists, and yet this little bunch of spoiled brats who think that they've got C4, you know, plastic explosives are going to blow up a bridge. They're going to become darlings of the left, of course, just like the murderous West Memphis Three, who everybody knows that lives in that town know perfectly well that Damien Echols and his little stooges killed those boys. Everybody knows it. They pleaded guilty in order to get out of prison. And yet now they're saying, oh, but we're innocent. And the press is going along with it. The media is going along with it. Hollywood's going along with it. They're murderers. They're killers. But because they managed to make friends on the left, make friends of other Satan worshipers, then they're being shown as innocent victims of the system. The same thing with O.J. Simpson. It goes on and on and on. And we're the actual victims. We're the victims of the system. We're the people who are being targeted by black mobs, and the black mobs are not being rounded up, thrown in jail. It's being called disorderly conduct, or lesser charges are being applied. We're not the ones who are, we're the ones who are under government scrutiny as terrorists. And yet somehow these little occupied Wall Street bunch can riot, break windows, destroy property, and get away with it. This shows the mindset of the left, that there is no crime on the left and only criminals on the right. And this is they are absolutely putting us in the crosshairs, not only for persecution from the media, but for literally being either gunned down or thrown into prison or put in a prisoner camp of some kind. They are out to get us. This is serious business, folks, and we have got to prepare ourselves to resist it because it's coming down the pipe. If you haven't seen the real mentality of Eric Holder in action against white people, you know, he sent a task force down for George Zimmerman to make sure he was going to be prosecuted. Regardless of what the city of Sanford did, he was going to be prosecuted. And that is the mentality of our government. There are political enemies, and they will go after them, just as Joseph Stalin went against the political enemies of the Soviet state. Get ready for it, because it's coming down the road.
Yeah, what's happened before can happen again. America is certainly, in this politically correct day and age, more than ever before, is not going to be impervious to the same crimes of the state that have happened in other countries, and Russia being a prime example.
Exactly. Well, here's the other thing. You know, I hear these people comparing Obama to Adolf Hitler, and this is their idea of the world's greatest evil is Adolf Hitler. Well, that may be true, but Obama's not has nothing in common with Adolf Hitler politically or ideologically. Obama is a Marxist. He is the same sort of political agenda, or has the same sort of political agenda that Joseph Stalin did. And Joseph Stalin killed about 10 times as many people as Hitler, and was set up the gulags and the forced labor camps all over Russia long before Hitler came to power, long before there was a Hitler. He is not another Hitler. He's another Joseph Stalin. get your facts right, people. Quit comparing him to Hitler, regardless of what you think of Hitler. He is a Bolshevik, and he is intent on bringing socialism and communism to this country and carrying out the same programs that Joseph Stalin and his stooges carried out in the Soviet Union. It was much worse than Hitler. If you read, for instance, the excellent...
Bill, we're coming up on the end of the hour, and I know you've got to get going, but I want to thank you for the exquisite commentary. And listen, folks, as the newspapers and continues to lose, as the media and those who control it continue to lose power, expect them to come increasingly desperate. We'll be back with the second hour right after this.
It was a fight for survival that broke out in revival. They were jumping pews and shouting, hallelujah. Well, Harv hit the aisles dancing and screaming. Some thought he had religion, others thought he had a demon. And Harv thought he had a weed eater loose in his fruit of the looms. He fell to his knees to plead and beg, and the squirrel ran out of his britches leg unobserved to the other side of the room. All the way down to the amen.